Welcome to Nazareth. And my name is Elias, and I am a carpenter. Call me a craftsman or an artisan, whatever you want to call me, I fix things. If you've got something that's broken at your house, just call old Elias, and I'll be there to fix it right up. Got a leaky roof or a hole in your bucket or a broken wagon wheel, I'll make what's broken as good as new. There's always lots of things to fix in broken down old Nazareth, so I'm never looking for work. But it's the Sabbath, and it's a time for rest. And my wife and I have just finished our evening meal. I've just got in from feeding the chickens. It's time to relax. So if you have a few minutes, I'd love to tell you my story. Would you like to hear my story? Good. I've lived in Nazareth my whole life. My whole family is here. My grown children, their children, my grandchildren. We're all living in this same village. And Nazareth used to be the town where nothing ever happened. It's significant and special that you're here at this particular season of time, here in the wintertime, because many years ago, during this exact season in the winter, something happened here. So my best friend, my closest friend, is Joseph, the son of Jacob. Joseph and I have known each other since childhood, played together. We went to rabbinic school together here in Nazareth in the synagogue, learned Torah together. Our fathers are both carpenters, so we learned our trade together. Known Joseph forever. I've known Mary, Joseph's wife, my whole life. My wife is Johanna, and Johanna and I got engaged, and then married before Joseph and Mary were even engaged. And our custom here in Nazareth is that before a couple is officially married, the husband is to build a house in which his wife can live with him. So I was busy, and I built the house where Johanna and I live, and she was happy with our new house. And then Joseph and Mary got engaged. And Joseph was busy building his home, and everything was going great until midway through their engagement, Joseph came to me with devastating news. It was terrible. Mary was with child, and he said, "Elias, I promise, the child is not mine." And on top of that, even before Mary had a chance to talk with Joseph, she left Nazareth, and she went to spend time with her older cousin, her older relative, Elizabeth, who lived in the Judean hills. Joseph was undone. And I was his best friend, so you can believe that many evenings, Joseph and I talked for hours about his life and where his life was going and what he should do next and what course of action he should take. I didn't see that there was really much of an option. Joseph, the child isn't yours. End the engagement. Cut off the relationship. There can be no marriage. It took Joseph a little bit longer to get there, but he came to see that that was the only possible option for him. So he got in touch with and made an appointment with the head rabbi here in Nazareth. And the document was drawn up. It was a certificate of divorce that he would sign, and that would end the engagement with Mary. He asked me, "Elias, could you come with me? Could you be a support to me on that morning?" And I said, "Yes." And so early that morning, I was at the rabbi's house waiting for Joseph. And I waited and I waited and I waited, and Joseph never showed up. Waited for 2 or 3 hours, and I finally went to Joseph's parents' house. I was looking for him, and he wasn't there. And Joseph was at the house he was building for Mary, and he was building the house for Mary. He'd completely changed his mind overnight. It was crazy. Even after what Mary had done, he was still going to build a house for her. What was even crazier was what Joseph told me had happened the night before. He had a dream from God. And during this dream, there was an angel who appeared to him and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because the child conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit." looked at him, said, Joseph, an angel? Really? But he stuck to that story. And he worked night and day on that house. And when she came back to Nazareth from Elizabeth's house, he welcomed her. She was great with child. He welcomed her to live in the house that he had built for her. We were all so confused. Everybody in Nazareth, it's a small village, everybody knew the story. And everybody knew Mary's story. She said she had never been with a man. So she was either lying, and that wasn't like Mary, or she was delusional. And Joseph had joined her in the delusion. As his best friend, it was so difficult for me, but the time came as Mary was approaching the time to give birth, we got word from Rome that the head of every household in Israel was to take a journey to their ancestral home to register for Caesar's census. Now, that was easy for me because my family had lived in Nazareth for generations. But for Joseph, it was much more difficult because he was of the tribe and lineage of David, the great king, and David's hometown was Bethlehem. So he was looking at a week to 10 days worth of a very difficult journey from Nazareth to Bethlehem. And I'd taken that journey, and I knew what that road was like. It was treacherous. There were bandits everywhere, and the road was steep, and it was very remote. And in the winter, it's exactly the same time of year, it was even much more difficult. So Joseph had his orders from Caesar, and he made preparations to leave. And when he left, he didn't leave alone. This was over 30 years ago, but I remember like it was yesterday, Joseph took Mary with him. He didn't have to. Only Joseph had to go, but Mary told him, I have to go to Bethlehem. And I watched as my best friend and his very pregnant wife left on this journey midwinter. I expected them to be back in a month or so. They were gone for about 7 years. When they came back, Joseph had so many stories to tell. And they were wild stories, and all of them concerned his son, Jesus. He told of the birth of his son. They looked for a lodging there in Bethlehem, couldn't find any place to lodge, so Jesus was born in Bethlehem stables. He told me that shepherds who had been out in their fields watching their sheep had been told by an angel, leave your sheep in the field and go see the baby that's been born in Bethlehem stables. And he told me of the coming of wise men from the east, and they had been looking for the king who was born, the king of Israel. And they came and they gave expensive presents and they worshiped Jesus. Not long after that, Herod had ordered the slaughter of all the baby boys 2 years old and under in all the area around Jerusalem. And Joseph told me, hey, if God hadn't given me a dream and if I hadn't seen an angel and been warned, take Mary and Jesus down to Egypt, Jesus would have been killed as well. I heard all these stories. I was thinking, this is so crazy. My good, stable, reasonable friend Joseph, what's up with this? But after being away for all those years, Jesus was about 7 years old when they got to Nazareth. And Mary and Joseph now had other children besides Jesus. I watched Jesus grow up into manhood here in Nazareth. He became a really good carpenter, just like his father, Joseph, my friend. And I assumed that he would be plying the trade of carpentry. But about 4 years ago, John, thank you. John, Jesus' relative, was at the Jordan River baptizing people. And Jesus left Nazareth to go to the Jordan River to be baptized himself. When he came back, all of us were very aware that something big had changed in this Jesus we thought we knew so well. It happened on a Sabbath morning, a worship service. The entire village had come together. The place was packed because everybody knew Jesus was back in town, and they wanted to see if Jesus might be telling adventure stories from his time at the Jordan River. He had gained quite a reputation as a teacher of the law. So at the very beginning of the service, Jesus stood up, asked the attendant for the scroll of Isaiah. And he opened the scroll to a passage we all knew so well. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, set free those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. And we all applauded. It was a wonderful reading. And then Jesus handed the scroll back to the attendant and said, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." And we looked at him just like you're looking at me right now. What kind of a comment was that? It was outrageous. Jesus was saying that he was the fulfillment of this prophecy about Messiah from Isaiah. One of his friends, a younger person who was in the synagogue that day, hollered out to Jesus, "Hey, Jesus, tone it down, man. You're just Joseph's son. You're just a carpenter." And he didn't tone it down at all. In fact, Jesus on that day was forceful, strident. And we got angry at him because of what he was saying about himself. And he got more forceful. We got angrier. And then Jesus finally yelled at us. And Jesus says, "You people are just like your forefathers. You never accept God's messenger." Well, that did it. All of us had watched Jesus grow up. And we knew him. And for him to talk to us that way, we grabbed him. We threw him out of the synagogue. We half-dragged him all the way to the edge of town, all the way to the cliff. And we were just about to toss him over the cliff when he turned and looked at us. And he walked away. He just, I still don't know how it happened exactly. He just walked through our crowd. And he left Nazareth. And that was the last time I ever saw Jesus. Now, I've kept up with him. And over the last 3 years, I've heard all the reports. So much that Jesus has done, because everywhere I go, people are talking about Jesus, how he teaches like people, someone you've never heard before, so great. And he heals the sick, and he cleanses lepers, and he casts out demons, and he raises the dead. And there's always crowds following after Jesus. And over these last 3 years, I've had reason to think, man, I wish we'd been a little slower. Maybe we were too hasty about that cliff thing. I wish we had listened to Jesus more. And I wondered if I had missed something about who he was. But I ended up thinking about Jesus all the time. Then 1 year ago, last winter, almost exactly 12 months ago from this night, Jesus was in Jerusalem. He was celebrating the Feast of Dedication, Hanukkah. And he was teaching in the temple. And while he was teaching in the temple, he was saying, "I am the good shepherd." It's a way of speaking as if you're Messiah. The leaders of the synagogue, or the leaders of the temple, said, "You're not claiming to be Messiah, are you?" And he said, "Yes, I am." He said, "In fact, I and my heavenly Father are one. We're equal." When he said that, they picked up stones, and they were getting ready to stone him. They were just about ready to start throwing rocks at Jesus, and they were going to stone him to death, and he walked away. Exactly, just like what he did in Nazareth. Just walked away both times. He claimed to be Messiah, people tried to kill him, and he walked away. I started thinking about the whole trajectory of Jesus' life and all the things that had happened to him. And so many times people had tried to kill him. Jerusalem, Nazareth, many other times. In fact, Herod the king, when he tried to kill all the young baby boys, it was nothing more than an attempt to kill Jesus. What was it about Jesus? He was so compelling and so polarizing. And there were always crowds following after him and always people trying to kill him. Something I should have seen. What kind of a man he really was when he was living in Nazareth, and I just missed it. And maybe Joseph was telling the truth, that an angel did appear to him in a dream, and maybe Mary was telling the truth, that he was conceived of the Holy Spirit. And I couldn't think of anything else but Jesus. I couldn't get him out of my mind. And then 6 months ago, last summer, after Passover, after Pentecost, two of Jesus' disciples came to Nazareth with a message that Jesus had died. But it's not what you think. It wasn't, poor Jesus has died, and we came to tell his family and friends. It was, Jesus died. He was crucified. He was dead and buried, but he's alive now. He came back to life. He's resurrected. And I would have thought, really, except for the rest of the story. And because I know the rest of the story, I believe that part of the story. So let me tell you what I believe about Jesus. I believe that he was born of a virgin and that he was raised by a man who wasn't his father. At every time, Jesus would tell people who he really was, the Son of God, Messiah. He was rejected. And there were countless times when people tried to put him to death, and he just kind of stepped aside, and they never put him to death because it wasn't time for him to die. But when it was time for him to die, he gave himself up, first to the Jews, then to the Romans, and he was crucified for you and me. So this young man, who had been trained as a carpenter to be a fixer, so much more than a fixer. He's a savior. He's Messiah, the Son of God. And Mary and Joseph had been telling the truth all these years. And I want to thank you for taking time to listen to my story tonight, because it's just so good for me to remember and to recall and put it all in order. This is what happened, and this is the story of Jesus. But as we prepare to wrap up this evening, I want to do more than remember. I want to invite you to join me. Join me in worshiping and praising the God who has given us the gift of his Son, Jesus. And join me in trusting Jesus for the one gift everyone needs, and the only one who can give that gift is God himself. It's the gift you could never buy. You could never afford it. It's too expensive. You can only receive it as a free gift because Jesus paid it all. It's the gift of eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Shalom. All right, in English y en español. Las velas. Número uno. Número uno. Jesús nos trae la paz. Jesus brings us peace. Número dos. Jesús nos trae la alegría. Jesus brings us joy. Number three. Oh, number three. I almost got it wrong. Number three. Jesus brings us love. Jesús nos trae l'amor. Jesus brings us hope. Jesús nos trae la esperanza. Now, ahora, número cinco. Jesús nos trae la vida. Jesus brings us life. Jesús nos trae la vida. Let's say it together. First in English. Jesus brings us life. And in Spanish. Jesús nos trae la vida. Amen. All right. We will light the candles. Muy ciudadano. Manuel, could you help me light the candles? Be very careful of the hair in front of you.
Night, holy night. So glad you all could be here to sing praises to God together.
Estamos muy alegres que pudieron venir para adorar a Dios juntos.
Bless you and have a Merry Christmas. You're dismissed.
Bendiciones y que tengan una feliz Navidad.
If you'd blow out your candle and then we'll have the boxes here.
Por favor, apaguen sus velas y ponlos en la cajita que está al frente.